The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 4, text number 5. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on June 16th, 2013, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Shri Bhagavan Vacha Bhuni Me Vyatitani Janmani Tavacharjana Tanyahang Veda Sarvani Natvang Hitaparantapa. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Blessed Lord said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita, we have information of many, many incarnations of the Lord. It is stated there, advaitnamachuttamanadamanantarupam adyangpunanapurusham navayovanamcha vedeshu durlamadurbam latmabhakto govindamari purusham tamahambhajami. 533. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda Krishna, who is the original person, absolute, infallible, without beginning, although expanded into unlimited forms, still the same original, the oldest, and the person always appearing as a fresh youth. Such eternal, blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord are usually understood by the best Vedic scholars, but they are always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. It is also stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadhi Murti Shakala Niyamena Shishtam Nanavataramakarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhat Paramapumanyo Govinda Madhipurusham Tamahabhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda Krishna, who is always situated in various incarnations, such as Ram, Nishringa, and many sub incarnations as well. But who is the original personality of Godhead known as Krishna and who incarnates personally also? In the Vedas also it is said that the Lord, although one without a second, nevertheless manifests himself in innumerable forms. He is like the Vaidurya stone, which changes color yet still remains one. All these multi-forms are understood by the pure unalloyed devotees, but not by a simple study of the Vedas. Vedeshu durlabham durlabhamabhakto. Devotees like Arjuna are constant companions of the Lord, and whenever the Lord incarnates, the associate devotees also incarnate in order to serve the Lord in different capacities. Arjuna is one of these devotees, and in this verse it is understood that some millions of years ago, when Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god Vivishvan, Arjuna, in a different capacity, was also present. But the difference between the Lord and Arjuna is that the Lord remembered the incidents, whereas Arjuna could not remember. That is the difference between the part and parcel living entity and the Supreme Lord. Although Arjuna is addressed herein as the mighty hero who could subdue the enemies, he is unable to recall what had happened in his various past births. Therefore, a living entity, however great he may be in the material estimation, can never equal the Supreme Lord. Anyone who is a constant companion of the Lord is certainly a liberated person, but he cannot be equal to the Lord. The Lord is described in the Brahma Samhita as infallible, achyuta, which means that he never forgets himself, even though he is in material contact. Therefore, the Lord and the living entity can never be equal in all respects, even if the living entity is as liberated as Arjuna. Although Arjuna is a devotee of the Lord, he sometimes forgets the nature of the Lord, but by the divine grace, a devotee can at once understand the infallible condition of the Lord, whereas a non-devotee or a demon cannot understand this transcendental nature. Consequently, the descriptions in the Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood by demonic brains. Krishna remembered acts which were performed by him millions of years before, but Arjuna could not, despite the fact that both Krishna and Arjuna are eternal in nature. We may also note herein that a living entity forgets everything due to his change of body, but the Lord remembers because he does not change his Satchidananda body. He is a Dvaita, which means there is no distinction between his body and himself. Everything in relation to him is spirit, whereas the conditioned soul is different from his material body. And because the Lord's body and self are identical, his position is always different from the ordinary living entity, even when he descends to the material platform. The demons cannot adjust themselves to this transcendental nature of the Lord, as the Lord explains in the following verse.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gudun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raganatanvitam Tamsajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
There's actually no limit to what Krishna knows. He is called Sarvajna, one who knows everything. Even a self-realized person is limited in what he knows. You see, what to speak of conditioned souls like us. And also, along with knowing everything, Krishna is very merciful. That's important because we've been very sinful. That's why we're here. Krishna knows how sinful we've been. He knows all the nonsense we've done in millions of births. But still he's giving us his love and his kindness. Even though he knows every nonsense, rascal thing that we did, he's very forgiving if we're willing to surrender to him. That's why he says, Sarva papebhyo mokshayami. If you will surrender to me, I will deliver you from all of your sinful reactions from millions and millions of lifetimes. Some people want to become self-realized without surrendering to Krishna. But that's not possible. Not possible. Self-realization means surrendering to Krishna. And what does surrendering to Krishna mean? It means whatever Krishna instructs in Bhagavad Gita, one does that. You follow exactly what Krishna said. You see. You can't make up your own surrender to Krishna according to your own terms. Just like in warfare, you see. The soldier, he will surrender. And then he's on the terms of the conquering army. And I did, well, I will surrender on these conditions. No. Surrender means unconditional. Now I am surrendering to you. You do with me as you like, you see. So that is the position of surrender to Krishna. We have to leave it completely to him. My dear Lord, whatever you want to do with me, I'm yours. That's all. You see. You can handle me roughly by your embrace. You can leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You're free to do anything and everything with me because you are my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That is surrender. We see that people are afraid to surrender. They're attached to some mundane conception of what their duty is. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarvadharman Puridhyaja. Give up all your conceptions of mundane duty. What is that mundane duty conception? It's pride. I have some pride that I'm this and that, and I want to keep that pride. Therefore, I won't give up everything to Krishna. But that, where does that pride take you? It takes you to another material body. Even if you're very pious, you see? You're proud of your piety, you see? What good is it? Very pious, but very proud of your piety. Well, you won't go back to Godhead. We have to become humble. That Krishna, I'll do whatever you want me to do, you see. These are one of the items of the bhakti system given in the Nectar of Devotion. One should be prepared to accept anything that he does not like to accept, and also be prepared to give up anything that he does not want to give up. One has to be completely detached. Whatever you want. I have no attachment except to serve you and please you, and that's it. Nothing, everything else is gone, finished. That is surrender. What does Bhagavatam say? Ahaitakiya pratiyata yayatma supersediti. Unless your Krishna consciousness is free of all motives and is going on 24/7, you will not satisfy. One has to be fully immersed in bhakti. Not just, you know, once a week at the temple. 24 hours a day. Always in that mood. My dear Lord, how can I serve you? How can I please you? How can my every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances be pleasing to you? This is the meditation. This is yoga. Discipline, you see. Keeping the mind fixed on Krishna. If we take proper association in a humble mood, it's not difficult. But if we remain proud, thinking I'm a great devotee, it's very difficult, you see. I'm a great devotee. I'm initiated for so many years. You see? So one has to be very, very careful. Yeah. One has to be very, very careful of this. It's a razor's edge. You see, one slip and you're finished. Maya is always there testing us. Maya is always there testing us. We may appear to be a very advanced devotee, but if we have some motive, then that bhakti can be finished at any time. Any time it can be finished. I want some recognition. I'm a great transcendentalist. You see. At any time that bhakti can be finished. So therefore we must be very, very careful not to lose this great treasure of Krishna prema that Prabhupada has brought. We have Krishna prema, but only in the seed-like state. And as neophyte devotees, we have Krishna prema. But we only have the seed-like, the seed of Krishna prema, as neophytes, you see. Brahmanda brahmite konna bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. After wandering throughout the Brahmanda, the material universe, through the higher planets, the lower planets, going through 8,400,000 species of life again and again and again and again and yet again. One who is very, very fortunate, he comes into the contact of a bona fide spiritual master and receives from him the seed of Krishna prema, Krishna consciousness. So what you do with that seed, that's up to you. No one can force you to take Krishna consciousness seriously. It's up to you. what you would do with that seed of bhakti. The spiritual master gives the seed of bhakti. Now what you will do with it? Will you cultivate that seed? Or will you let it die? That's up to us. What we will do with that seed. If one wants to be successful in bhakti, then he has to become an expert gardener. That seed is given by the spiritual master. Now the devotee must be an expert gardener. What does that mean? You have to regularly water the seed. What is that watering process? Chanting and hitting? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Regularly chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. You have to weed the garden also. What are those weeds? Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. You have to weed the garden. Keep it free of the weeds. And what else is required? There's some mad elephants running around the neighborhood. You need a strong fence. What is the mad elephant? It's called Hatti Mata, mad elephant, to offend Vaishnavas. That is the mad elephant. So one must build a very strong fence around that creeper. So no Vaishnava Aparad can happen. So how do we avoid Vaishnava Aparad? It's not difficult. You have to do the opposite. You have to always appreciate the devotees. Even if there's some difference of opinion with that other devotee, you should see what are the good qualities of that devotee. You always see the good qualities of the other devotees. Because the more you see the good qualities of the other devotees, the more the good qualities become developed in you. And the more you meditate on the faults of the other Vaishnavas, the more your faults become prominent. What you meditate on is what you become. You're always saying, oh, this fault, that fault, then you are full of faults, my dear sir. You are full of faults. You're always saying, this fault, that fault, this fault, that fault, this fault, that fault. You see. But if you're always appreciating the good qualities of the devotees, oh, just see this nice quality they have, very nice quality, then in that humble way, that humble mood of appreciating other devotees, then your wonderful qualities, your wonderful Vaishnava qualities, 26 qualities of a Vaishnava, which are now in a dormant state, they will become manifest. So if one will properly appreciate the Vaishnavas, always try to serve the Vaishnavas, always be very eager to hear from the Vaishnavas. Not that we saw one. I gave a lecture one time, and some men in the back were sitting there having, they were talking, sitting there having a conversation. Just shooting the breeze, there was no lecture going on. This is disrespectful. There's a lecture, one should pay full attention. It's aparad. To sit in the temple room where a lecture is going on and shooting the breeze. You see, ignoring the lecture. So one has to be very, very respectful to those who are, when there's preaching going on, one should be very, very respectful. One should be absorbed with rapt attention in hearing what is being spoken. Because that is a qualification for preaching. If one does not know how to hear nicely, he will not be able to preach nicely. That is a thing. And if one can hear very, very nicely, and they become the first-class preacher. Prabhupada gives himself as an example that when that Vrindavan Parikrama was going on, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, they were doing the Brajmandal Parikrama. And so there would be different, every evening there would be a lecture, but there were also temples there. You could go for the darshan as well. You had a choice. You could go for darshan or you could go for lecture. So Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur He speaks in very, very erudite English. The materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat. In this way, he speaks in very, very erudite English. So practically no one can follow what he was talking about. Even Prabhupada couldn't always understand what he was talking about. He was speaking in such big, big erudite words. But he would always be there. He said, I would understand or I would not understand, but still I would go on hearing. And actually, hardly no one went for those lectures. The sannyasis and one pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad named Abhay Charandhay. He was sitting there hearing, you see, what Guru Maharaj was saying. So, just like in ISKCON, the local temple recommend this devotee for initiation. So, the Allahabad devotees, they recommended Abhay Charandhay for Diksha. And Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, oh yes, the others go away, but he hears very nicely, I will give him Diksha. So in this way he was recognized, you see, by Guru Maharaj for being very, very eager to hear, you see. Very, very eager to hear. So one has to have that enthusiasm, utsahan. One has to have that enthusiasm for hearing about Krishna. I remember when Prabhupada was here, we were so enthusiastic. There's nothing more enlivening than hearing his lectures. It was just pure, like being in Krishna Loka. I mean, just sitting at Prabhupada's lotus feet and hearing those lectures. It was so enlivening. And then a wonderful thing happened. They started the Bhaktivedanta Tate Ministry. When I joined, there was no... It wasn't easy. In fact, when I joined, there was no cassette tapes had not been introduced yet. The only way you could hear a lecture was those old reel-to-reel tape machines. You could hear some lecture. I remember in Dallas Temple, we had a reel-to-reel machine. We would hear Prabhupada singing some bhajans or giving some lectures on the reel-to-reel tape machine. But then cassette tapes were introduced. Wow. Some new technology, just at the right time, you know. Cassette tapes. So there was a Bhaktivedanta Tape Ministry that started, and then they record all the lectures, and every temple could get a subscription, and every week you would get your nectar packet of all the new lectures that Prabhupada had just given 2 or 3 days ago. I mean, it was really amazing to hear those lectures, especially those morning walks on Venice Beach where Prabhupada was smashing the scientists. That was especially relishable. To hear how he was smashing the scientists, you see. Actually, Prabhupada said, the more we kick Darwin in the face, the more we make spiritual advancement. And he was smashing these scientists, you see. So this hearing process is a very, very essential thing. It is the foundation. It is the foundation of the bhakti process. If one can simply hear nicely, then he can achieve all perfection. By hearing nicely, he will speak nicely, he will chant nicely, he will serve nicely. Simply by quality hearing, everything else will become first class. If you make your hearing first class, then all of your activities will become first class automatically. So just try to develop very good ability to hear the lectures, to hear your japa, to meditate on the kirtan in this way. Just try to become very, very expert in hearing. And everything will come from that. It will all manifest very, very nicely. The difficulty is we're still attracted to hearing some rubbish. That is the problem. We're still attracted to some lower taste. Gramya kata. That's the difficulty. We have to purify our taste for hearing. That I only want to hear about Krishna. How amazing is Krishna? Actually, simply by hearing about Krishna, one becomes enlightened with transcendental knowledge. Krishna is so amazing. Just by hearing about him, one immediately wants to go and surrender at his lotus feet. You know that story of that gopi girl? One gopi was telling her, she said, Smaran bangi traya parchitam sachi vishtirna dushtin vangshinasta kishalayam ujvalam drandakena govendakyam haritana mitaha keshi tirta pukante ma pikshishtasta vyadi sake bandhu stanki stirangaha. She said, my dear gopi girlfriend, if you have any attachment for society, friendship and love, then do not dare to go to the bank of Jamuna tonight at Keshi Ganj. Don't you dare go down there. Because if you go, you will see this beautiful boy named Govinda. And he's putting his flute to his lips, which are just like newly blossomed twigs, his tramp nettle body shining very, very brilliantly in the moonlight. His threefold form is shining very, very brightly in the moonlight. Do not go there, my dear gopi girlfriend. So just by hearing about Krishna, his amazing flute playing, his beautiful threefold bending form, his brilliant body shining so more brilliant than a million moons, just by hearing about that transcendental body of Krishna, that gopi, immediately ran down there for darshan, forgetting everything of society, friendship and love. Also Rukmini Devi, she never met Krishna. She only heard about Krishna. You may say, how you could be so dedicated to someone without ever even met them? She never met Krishna. She simply heard about Krishna. How she could be so dedicated that I will have only Krishna as my husband when she never even met him? How is that possible? I'll tell you how it's possible. Because Krishna and his description are non-different. If I describe you, you see, you are not present in that description. We are not absolute. But when Krishna is described, Krishna is personally present. He is fully manifest in that description. Therefore, Rukmini Devi was actually associating with Krishna just by hearing about him. So it's not surprising the young girl, Princess Rukmini, fell completely madly in love with Krishna. It's not surprising. Because simply by hearing about Krishna, she was associating with Krishna. So what is the point to be derived for us neophyte devotees struggling to get out of Maya? The point is this, that by hearing about Krishna, we are associating with Krishna. We're thinking, well, I'd like to go back to Godhead so I can associate with Krishna. But why not associate now? Krishna is fully present. Why wait? Completely give your heart to Krishna now by hearing about him. Take his glories, take his pastimes, take his nama, take it all into your heart as your dearmost treasure immediately. Why wait? You can immediately have Krishna. You can immediately associate with Krishna. It's simply a matter of that bhaktya. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. It is simply that mood of bhakti that's required. That's it. Simply that mood of bhakti. What your patram pushpam palam toyam will attract, how will that attract Krishna? It will not attract Krishna. He has much better patram pushpam palam tayam in Galok than what we can provide. You see. But that love, you see, that love, that's what Krishna wants. Give your love to Krishna. This is what attracted me. I remember when I was first associating with devotees back in 1969 in Berkeley, California. I was a young spiritual seeker, songwriter and spiritual seeker. And I liked the chanting, I liked the prasadam, but I didn't want to join because it looked to me like just a bunch of rules and regulations, you know. Like joining the military or something like that, you know. Okay, you shave your head and you wear the uniform and you have to sleep at this hour, and it's all this regulated thing. The rules and regulations. I was going, no way, it's too much. You know, I want to be free. I don't want to be tied down by all these rules and regulations. That was my mood. But then a couple of years later, actually, I met one devotee, Vishnujanaswami. And his preaching style was quite different. Instead of saying, you got to follow the rules and regulations, he was saying, give your love to Krishna. You see, it was different. Give your love to Krishna. Instead of loving a dog or a cat, why not love Krishna who made all of that? You see. So in this way, you see, these rules and regulations in themselves are not very important, actually. You see. It's confirmed in the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, yena tena pakarena mana krishna in the vesha yet sarvas siddhi na sedashur eta yor eta kim karaha. One should fix, Rupa Goswami says, somehow or other fix your mind on Krishna. All the rules and prohibitions of the scripture should simply be the servant of this principle. The whole point is to be Krishna conscious. Following rules and regulations, that's not the point. The point is be Krishna conscious. We follow the rules and regulations to help us be more Krishna conscious, that's all. This is not the International Society for Rules and Regulations. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So somehow connect with Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Somehow connect with this person who is so amazing person. Premanjana charita bhakti valo chanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu valo kayanti yang shama shundaram achintya ganaspa rupam govindam adipurusham tamam bhajami. Somehow connect with this Krishna. This amazing person, Krishna. Somehow connect with him, you see. Shintamani prakarasadmasu kalpravikshu lakshavrateshu shurabhira vipaliyantam Lakshmi sahasra shata samrama sevyamanam govindam adi purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the first progenitor, who is tending the cows in abodes built with spiritual gems. Just imagine that. Can you imagine a place which is made out of gems? Can you imagine? Here we make stuff out of cement, right? Here we make cement, maybe some stones. But in Goloka, that hollow boat is made of spiritual gems. You just imagine what it would be like. He's always surrounded by millions of purpose trees and served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. Alola Chandra Kadasadva Namagyamamsi Radnanganam pranayakeli kalavilasam shamanti bangaladitam niyata prakasham govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers beautified with the moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, and whose graceful threefold bending form of Sham Sundra is eternally manifest. Anganyasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pasyanti panti kalayanti chiranjaganti ananda chinmayat savujvala vigrahasya govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. Sometimes devotees give that verse, each of the limbs, transcendental figure, in itself, you see. Normally we talk about our limbs as being it. But actually when you meet Krishna, his limbs are not it. His limbs are him. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati has said the limbs himself. Each limb is fully himself. You see. We and our bodies are different. There's a difference. But Krishna and his body, they are one and the same. Krishna's forearm is Krishna. Krishna's neck is Krishna. Everything about Krishna is fully Krishna. Everything. His fingers are Krishna. His toes, everything about Krishna is Krishna. So every aspect of his body, every part of his body is able to see, maintain, and manifest the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. So just try to understand who is this amazing person who is playing his flute and inviting us to return to be his eternal associates in Sri Goloka Dham. Just try to understand how beautiful is Krishna, how powerful is Krishna, how renounced is Krishna. You may say, renounced? Are you kidding? He's got so many girlfriends. But it's confirmed by who is famous for being a renunciate? Bhishma Dev. You see, Dridhavrata, I will never marry. He is famous for swearing off marriage. I will never marry. You see, he is famous, Brahmachari, Bhishma Dev. So in the Rajasuya Yajna, Bhishma Dev certified, he said, actually, there's no greater Brahmachari than Krishna. If I had been in the forest with all those girls, I would have fallen down. But Krishna, he didn't have any illicit sex. There's no report of pregnancy from the Rasalila. Pregnancy and abortion. Krishna has remained perfect Brahmachari, even after Rasalila, you see. So, this is an amazing person, Krishna. We just have to become more Krishna conscious. Isn't that our society's name? The International Society for Krishna Conscious. So how Krishna conscious are we? You see, we have to honestly look in our own hearts and see, well, I'm really not that Krishna conscious. You know, I'm thinking about my finances, I'm thinking about my health, thinking about my house, thinking about my car, thinking about my family, and oh yeah, a little bit of Krishna here and there, but why not Krishna, everything centered around Krishna, you see. That's Krishna consciousness. That is pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti. Why not become really, really serious about pure devotional service, you see. Say, well, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. But wait a minute. That's where the nectar is. Why deprive ourselves of the nectar of Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna bhakti? Why deprive ourselves of the ultimate achievement of Krishna prema? Prabhupada is pushing us to become pure devotees. Prabhupada pushed me. He said, now you just qualify yourself. He wrote me one letter. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So Prabhupada is pushing us. Become pure devotees. So let's take advantage of these wonderful instructions of Prabhupada, this wonderful movement that Prabhupada has created to help us become Krishna conscious and become purely fixed in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.